Okay, so imagine this. Deep beneath Ireland, there's this giant, not dead, just sleeping.
Fionn MacCumhail. Finn McCool.
Right. And legend says when his special hunting horn, the Dord Fionn, sounds three times, he and his warriors, the Fianna, they just rise up.
Yeah, rise up to defend Ireland. But Fionn, he's such a, well, a contradiction, isn't
Totally. That's what we want to dive into for you today.
Exactly. The sources paint him as this peerless warrior, but also somehow Ireland's greatest poet.
And a seer with incredible wisdom yet.
Yet he could be consumed by really petty jealousy. So, yeah, our mission is to unpack this complex guy, this immortal king, and figure out why he still resonates.
Makes sense. So where do we start? His beginnings were pretty rough, right? Exile.
Yeah, born Demne.
Yeah.
His father, Cumhall, gets killed, and he's whisked away, raised in secret, deep in the forests.
By his aunt, who was a druidess, Bogmal, and another woman,
A warrior.
Lyth Lotra. Yeah. So his upbringing is totally outside of society, completely immersed in the wild. It gives him this deep connection to nature, to instinct. And that instinct plays a huge role later, doesn't it, with the fish.
Oh, absolutely. The Salmon of Knowledge
Yeah.
and Bardon Fiza. This is probably his defining moment.
So he's apprenticed to this sage, Finnegas, who's been trying to catch this one specific fish forever because it holds all the world's knowledge.
Right. Finnegas finally catches it, and Fionn, still called Damne at this point, his only job is to cook it. Not eat it, just cook it.
Okay, and then the accident happens.
Exactly. A tiny drop of hot fat spits from the fish, lands on his thumb, burns him.
And he does what anyone would do.
Sticks his thumb in his mouth. Super
Yeah.
reflex.
And boom, instant wisdom.
Accidental wisdom. He absorbs the defis, the tooth of wisdom from the salmon. It's not from study, not discipline, just pure raw instinct. It's kind of amazing.
It really flips the script on how wisdom is usually earned, you know. So this accidental knowledge becomes his thing. And he uses it to lead the Fianna.
He does. And you gotta understand, the Fianna weren't like a king's army. They were a Fian.
Which means.
Essentially, these nomadic bands. Young men, often landless, living on the edges of society, mercenaries, protectors, but outsiders.
Huh. Outsiders with a surprisingly complex code, though. I read their entry requirements were insane.
Oh, completely. It wasn't just about being tough. You had to be a master poet, know 12 traditional books.
12 books. Wow.
And you had to be incredibly agile, like run through a forest without breaking a twig underfoot or disturbing a single strand of your hair.
Demanding.
It pushed this holistic ideal. Their motto kind of sums it up. Purity of our hearts, strength of our limbs, action to match our speech. Warrior, poet, person of integrity, all rolled into one.
A true warrior poet ideal, then. But even with this code, this wisdom, he wasn't perfect. There's a darker side.
Oh, definitely. And it leads straight to his biggest tragedy, his defining flaw,
Yeah.
jealousy, specifically the story of Diarmuid and Graim.
Right. Fionn's older now, and he's set to marry the young Princess Graim.
But she takes one look at Diarmuid, one of Fionn's best and most loyal warriors, who has this magical love spot, and falls for him instead.
And she puts a guise on him, like a magical obligation.
Exactly. A sacred bond he can't refuse, forcing him to elope with her. Fionn is furious, humiliated.
So he hunts them down for years, not really for justice, more like wounded pride.
Pure wounded pride and jealousy.
Yeah.
It consumes him. The story culminates years later. Diarmuid gets fatally wounded by a magical boar.
And Fionn, ironically, is the only one who can save him. He has this gift, right? Healing with water.
Yes, just by giving water cupped in his hands, he could heal almost anything.
So he goes to get the water.
He goes to the well.
Wow.
Twice. And twice, thinking of Graim, thinking of the betrayal, this bitter jealousy wells up.
And he lets the water slip through his fingers deliberately.
Deliberately, he lets Diarmuid die. Right there. It's brutal. It shows this profound, very human, very dark flaw. It makes him so much more than just a hero.
That's incredibly complex. He fails morally. That refusal, it makes him less of a caricature and more
Right.
real in a way. Haunting.
Precisely. And maybe that darkness is why later folklore sort of simplifies him, makes him bigger, literally.
Ah, like the Giant's Causeway story.
Exactly. He becomes this massive giant who shapes the land itself. Building a causeway to Scotland to fight another giant, Banandaner.
But doesn't his wife sort of outsmart everyone in that one?
She does. Una, his wife, sees Banandaner as huge, so she quickly disguises Fionn as a giant baby. Banandaner sees the baby and figures if the baby's that big, the father must be terrifying. So he runs back to Scotland, tearing up the causeway behind him. It's a much lighter take.
From tragic figure to subject of a funny folktale, shows his endurance, though. And he pops up in modern literature too, doesn't he?
Massively. James Joyce is the big one. Finnegan's Wake, the title itself.
Finnegan is awake.
Exactly. Joyce saw him as this perpetually recurring figure, always coming back. Fionn remains this powerful archetype, the warrior poet, the leader guided by instinct as much as by wisdom, the flawed hero.
So, thinking about him today, this complex leader, full of contradictions, capable of great wisdom and terrible jealousy, what can that teach you, listening now, in a world that often pushes for simple answers, for specialization? What does Fionn's messy, holistic, instinctive leadership offer us?
That's definitely something to chew on.
Something to think about until our next deep dive.